I just have one thing to say. Rise up, O Church of God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That is Psalm 118:24. In case you didn't take the time to look it up. Ruth, thank you for the good counsel. Well done. You will learn in just a couple of minutes that God's word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what he set it out to do. And one of those little young men in the back room after our sweet fellowship of prayer made it so. One of them said, amen. Well done, son, because when you say that, you say, let it be so. So we have made our request before God, and now we get to do the best part. Watch his hand move. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day that we set apart to worship you, to learn about you, to praise you, to pray to you, to cry on your shoulders, to be lifted up, to be encouraged. God, I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty and powerful way in your house this morning, that you would continue to mold and shape us into those you created us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy. So we've been looking at who we are, who God is, and who Jesus is to us. And I said for the last 2 weeks that I'm not going to talk about being built on the rock anymore. We're moving on to being the church. What does the church look like? What does it do? How does it move? Who is it? And to find out about the church, we have to go to the book of Acts. So I want to tell you that the book of Acts is an account of how the church was started and the message that it holds. I think all of us, well, hopefully all of us here have read the book of Acts at some point in time, but have you studied it? Do you know what the message of Acts is? I'll tell you. The work of the church, the work of the church is not done yet. Today we're going to be looking at the beginning of the church. In Acts 1, which is found in the Pew Bible on page 1690, and it may be difficult to find because it doesn't have a number on the page. So look in your Bible for for page 1691, and then just look at the left side of your Bible, and you will be at Acts 1. So we're going to Acts 1. If you're using your own Bible, I don't know the page number. In Acts 1, at verse 1, we read, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, verse 3, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 6. "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth.'" This is the beginning of the church. What we read here in the first few verses of chapter 1 is a review of what Luke had already told Theophilus in Luke chapter 24, which is the last chapter of the book of Luke. And what we find there is Jesus eating with the disciples and giving them some final instruction and then ascending into heaven. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 24, that is, let's see, Luke, John, Acts. So that's going left in your Bible. You're looking for page 1644, 1644 in the Pew Bible. You're on your own if you brought your own sword. Luke 24 on page 1644. I'm giving you valuable information if you want to search the scriptures. A little guide here. He told them at verses 46 through 53. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is a little snapshot of what the church could, should look like. You know, for some time I've been studying on my own the book of Acts to find out what the church looked like and how it moved. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. When you take time for your own leisure to read this book, you find that it's full of action. They didn't just sit around. They were moving. If you want to see our church grow and become all God desires and intends it to be, then a study of this book is essential. And shame on me for waiting 5 years. The book of Acts speaks clearly about the principles of evangelism, reaching a lost and dying world for Christ. How are we doing that, church? Are we on mission? You don't have to answer. I'm just asking the question. I believe one of the main reasons the early church grew at such a fast pace then was due to the fact that many of these early Christian followers responded to God's call on their life. They took Jesus' commission seriously, and as a result, these men, women, children, boys, and girls were diligently spreading the gospel. These people seem to grasp the importance of knowing Jesus, the resurrected, soon-to-be-returning Savior of the world. Who are you serving and worshiping, church? They understood the difference that Jesus makes in someone's lives. That was then. But what are we to be doing, church, now? Well, I don't know. Well, that's why we're in the book of Acts. The answer is found in the first two verses of chapter 1. That's page 1690 in the Pew Bible if you got into Luke and you need to find your way back to Acts. To carry out all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Are we the chosen people of God? Do you think? Good, there's a couple of rattling heads. That's cool. We are to continue Christ's work. In verse 1, Luke is reminding Theophilus, that's just some guy. If you don't know what the word is, that was his name, which means lover of God or God lover. He's telling Theophilus and you and me what he had written about Jesus, what he had begun to do and teach. When we read the book of Acts, we need to realize that Jesus ascended into heaven. Right? He's not here now. Christ's work on the cross was finished. The price for sin is paid. Churches around the world are preaching on that all the time. Yes? We're nodding with you. Yeah, we do. But we don't preach nearly enough about the unfinished work of Christ. Well, no, his work is done. I don't know. Would you agree that there's still a lost and dying world that we live in? And do you think there's still millions of people that need to know what Jesus taught and did? I'm so glad there's interaction here. So how is this work going to be accomplished? He's in heaven. Oh, wait a minute. He's in me. Ideally, he's in you. This is how we know he's living. He lives in me. Supposedly, we sing about it, right? He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, talks with me. No, he walks with me. He counsels me. He guides me. He directs me. He rebukes me. Yeah. Yes? Hopefully, because he loves me and you. So how is this job going to continue? How is his job going to continue? You and me, very good, through us. It's our job. We don't exist simply to sit in church pews and maybe put a couple bucks in an offering box. We, as the church, are to continue Christ's ministry here on earth. If all you're doing in this life is going to work every day, come to church on Sunday, you're missing something. There's so much more. When we go into the world, whether working or shopping at Walmart, we are Christ's ambassador. As people of God, we come on Sundays so that we can corporately praise and worship God and receive strength and encouragement to go into the world and preach Christ, reflect him well, to continue the work he began. We're to follow Christ's example. Look at verses 1 and 2. That Jesus began to do his work until the day in which he was taken up. Jesus was faithful to the end of his life when his feet left the planet, and he is still to this day faithful. And we need to follow his example. We need to remain faithful until our days come to an end or he returns and takes us home. Until then, we're to follow his example and be led by the Holy Spirit. Luke also says, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given instructions. Through the Holy Spirit means that Jesus gave instructions and commands to his disciples. Are you a disciple? Do you know the commands and the teaching? It's in the book. It's in the book. Read the book. Some people are reading God's word. That's exciting. Or sleeping. Or checking their cell phones. I don't know. The Holy Spirit is accompanying to Jesus' teaching, empowering the decisions so that they could rightly understand what was being taught. If you're going to read your handbook, and if you don't have one, I'll put one in your hand today. But if you're going to read this book, please, please, please pray first. Don't just say it's 6:30, I got to read two chapters and move on. Say, Lord, speak to me through your word. And he will, through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we go out into this lost and dying world, we need the Holy Spirit to go before us, to give us help. Otherwise, we work in vain. My words will never, ever, 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 ever change your life. God's word and your life experience is what draws you to him. And what happens is you become contagious and you can't contain the valuable information that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you through God's word. That's why we have Bible studies on Wednesday nights. That's why we do community Lenten services. That's why we come to church on Sundays. That's why we read the Bible of our own accord every day of the week. Yes, church. Okay, maybe not everybody. If we're going to be the church God desires, we need the proper motivation. You know where you find the motivation? Look at verse 3 in whatever book we're in, Acts 1. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over the period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. What motivated the first Christians back then into action? Luke tells us Jesus had revealed himself to them, who in turn would spread the message of the gospel all over the world. Why do I know about Jesus? Because somebody told me when I was young, you need to know Jesus. Why do I keep pounding and hounding you to know Jesus? Because he makes a difference in your life. Your strength comes through him. Have you had a personal experience with Christ? A revelation about who Jesus is? Is he your Savior? Because if he is, that ought to motivate you to tell the world about your Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he taught and that he did. What is this to look like? Well, I don't know. Maybe you could pick up a violin. Maybe, I don't know, I had a list of things. Maybe you could pick up a clarinet. Maybe you could sing for Jesus. Maybe you could bake for Jesus. My mother-in-law bakes nut rolls, and on her label is scripture. That little white piece of paper serves as a springboard to open a conversation that could change somebody's life for eternity. God will use anything. He'll use anybody. Why? Because God's word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what he set it out to do. He set me out today to speak this message. He's calling you to listen, to open your heart, be receptive, and then take a step and put it into practice. We'll find out in a minute to go. Yeah, I go to church. Go into the world. As Luke writes to Theophilus. He's trying to explain why the early church and the apostles were so passionate about serving Jesus Christ. Why? Because they had a personal, intimate, meaningful relationship with him. They were willing to live for him, to die for him, because Jesus gave them undeniable proofs. It's in the book. Read the book. What are the undeniable proofs? Nail-scarred hands, feet pierced, pierced side. Resurrection? That's not natural. And the people need to know about that. The greatest proofs of the resurrection is the fact that so many of his disciples laid down their life for what they believed. Are you willing to die for your Savior? What are these people being persecuted across the pond that we're praying for? Father, I ask that you would just put these wasps to rest. Clearly, your word is going out, and we need to be distracted, Father. Let those bees be gone in Jesus' name. Did I tell you they had a personal, intimate relationship with their Savior? Are you a follower of Christ this morning? Do you have an intimate relationship with your risen Lord? Then given the opportunity, you can testify about all that he has done for you. You can begin with that breath you just took in, the fact that he suspended her life through that sneeze. That's why we say God blessed you. Or Gesundheit. Anyway, thanks for being a word picture. Because God has been so good to all of us, it ought to motivate us to be faithful witnesses. And listen, fulfill what he has called and created us to do. I'm not making this up. You want to know what life is? It's Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no life. You have one choice on this planet. Choose Jesus. Other than that, you're destined for hell. That's the recipe. If you're there, drop down to verses 4 through 8 in Acts 1 on page 1690. How intimate is this relationship they had? On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me talk about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. All throughout the Bible, we hear these truths. Yes, church? Back in Luke 24:59, Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. I'll tell you what that is, the Holy Spirit. But he says, stay in this city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Till the Holy Spirit fills you, stay put. Wait. In Matthew 28, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 28:19-20, the command of Jesus is further explained. Jesus tells his disciples, maybe to you and me, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. These aren't suggestions. I say them over and over and over. And when the church picks them up and puts them into practice, I'm going to say them over and over and over. Why? Because new people are going to come into these pews, they're going to sit down, and they're going to need to know what Jesus began to do and teach. As followers of Christ, He is with us wherever we go. He has to be faithful to His promise. I am with you to the end of the age, I promise. What must I do? Trust Him. Believe Him. Hang out with Him for more than 20 minutes on Sunday. We are to go into all the world, teach, baptize, and disciple the people living in darkness. Do you know them? They may be in your house. They may be sitting right next to you right now. People walking in darkness need to see a great light. The great light you have seen that you know. Now tell somebody. As true followers of Christ, this is the reason we remain on the planet. We're to go, period, stop, end of sentence. If you claim to be a Christian, but you're not going and doing, then something's missing. Every day we need to be asking God to help us be a witness wherever we are. We need to be asking God for opportunities to open our mouth and talk about Him to anybody that'll listen. Do you have an ear to hear? Let me tell you about Jesus. That's not the best way to open a conversation, but when it presents itself, we need to be doing our best as a church to be the church God desires. His desire is that we reach out to a world and tell them of His unconditional love and His saving grace. But know this, if we're going to be a witness for Christ, we need help. The Bible makes this abundantly clear. What is the resource for fulfilling God's will, His plan, our mission? What is it? Here comes the truth again. That stinking wasp wants you to be distracted. Everybody up here. What's the resource? Let's look back to the beginning of the beginning of the church when God called 12 unlikely, unschooled fishermen to make a difference that's been making a difference till today. They were going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to fulfill the mission they were called to do. And you know what? That stands true today. I can't stand up here in my power. I will flounder and fail every time. I will say it again. That's why I cower behind God's word. I'm leading you to Scripture. And if you've noticed, all these Scriptures say the same thing. What is it? Truth confirmed with experience? I don't know. I'll research it and start the sermon that way next week. God never gives us a task to do and then leaves us on our own to get the job done. His promise, I go before you. I'll never leave nor forsake you. Do not worry. Do not be dismayed. If I want you to talk to someone, I'll be there. I'll create the opportunity. You just go. When you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have what you need. Listen, listen. Nothing is missing. You have the power. I hear a lot of people say, I don't feel like I can witness because they don't know what to say. I don't think I can witness because I'm not gifted. I can assure you, if witnessing required being naturally talented to talk to somebody about Christ, I'm exempt. I don't qualify. Look at me, I'm an idiot. If witnessing required special talents or abilities, I fall short. Here's the really, really good news. Listen to this. It doesn't depend on your talents or your gifts. What witnessing is depending on is about what Christ has to offer. And whether or not we're tapped into the source, the Holy Spirit, which He has promised. You have the promised Holy Spirit. God doesn't lie. You accept Him, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then life takes on a new meaning. And it's marvelous. I was in Scotland. Some guy said, my biggest fear, he's some keynote speaker. I don't even know his name. But this is what he said. It impacted me. I'm afraid I've experienced something you have not yet experienced. When you experience Christ, your life changes. And what happens is you can't contain it. Because God has called you, created you, to go into the world and teach, to do and teach what He has done. To be the church God desires, what we need is to be available and obedient. Hey. Let us begin today. Father, I thank You for Your Word, the Bible, that we have the freedom to access it every day. And I pray that You would create in us a desire to search You out, to know You more. Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to pursue each one of us in a new way, that we would hear You and feel You and taste You and smell You. Because our relationship is so close to You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.